welcome along to another episode of Telecast PH, the Telework PH Business Process Outsourcing Podcast, breaking through the cultural barriers and changing the way we look at outsourcing to the Philippines. I'm BizDev Jeff, your host. Thanks for joining. And as always, a special thank you to all who have been listening and following my content on LinkedIn and Instagram. Now, if you're interested in finding out more about building a customer support or back office team here in the Philippines, or many of the other outsourcing options available, hop on over to www.telework.ph.com or hit me up in LinkedIn. Just search BizDev Jeff Thompson or the hashtag BizDev Jeff and send me a message and we can talk about it. Now, before we get to today's guest, I want to say that I sincerely hope everyone is staying home and staying safe. Remember, it's up to us as to how long this pandemic lasts. Today's episode features a conversation I had with Jeff Pugel, founder and CEO of Ignition over in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, I met Jeff on LinkedIn after he had listened to the podcast, and we made a connection, started the conversation, and as I found out a little bit more about Jeff and what he does, I knew I had to ask him to be on the podcast to share his story and his message. So without further ado, let's listen in. Hey guys, and welcome to Telecast PH. Today I have a very special guest and one that I've been trying to get on the show for quite some time, and finally we're able to get our paths to cross. I'm joined by Jeff Pugel. He's the founder and CEO of Ignition, and he hails from the same neck of the woods that I do, which is the Cleveland Akron area. Of course, I'm from Akron, so we call it the Akron Cleveland area. So anyway, Jeff's on here and he's going to talk about his company, starting the company, and how the virus outbreak has affected his business. Hey Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, good. How you doing, man?
Oh, you know how it is. Same old, same old.
Yeah.
So do you want to go ahead and jump right in and tell us about Ignition and what it is that you do and how you bring value to your clients?
Yeah. So Ignition, where it is currently nowadays, and this we can may get into this a little bit on, but have really pivoted just lately with the whole COVID-19 pandemic of helping marketing agencies and small B2B professional service companies. So think like, you know, accounting firms and law firms and companies of that type. Survive and thrive during this whole, as I'm calling it, this whole stay-at-home era, by learning how to properly leverage the power of LinkedIn to recreate all of their new business channels that have been suddenly disrupted since no one can do, face-to-face meetings any longer.
And LinkedIn is powerful. There are so many users on there, business owners, and from all different types of industries that are just coming together. So yeah, LinkedIn is one of the most powerful places to start those conversations. So in your opinion then, I mean, is lead generation kind of on its way out more and more, you know, the social selling and getting on the social medias places like LinkedIn and the other platforms? Is that more beneficial than the lead generation today?
The way I like to say it, lead generation isn't going away. It's just transforming itself into a new era. And that's where I feel social selling is, because there's a certain way to approach it. There's a kind of, you know, new rules of the road. So, you know, just you can think back, you know, to a simpler time where, you know, you might have done initially cold calling,
right,
for
right.
lead generation. Then, you know, that kind of ran its course. Then you moved on to, you know, other, you know, you moved on to digital channels, you know, pre-LinkedIn, you know, that maybe that kind of ran its course, and you moved on to this and you moved on to that, you know, and kind of, you know, where it's at now for the B2B game is LinkedIn. And, you know, with that though, you know, there's certain rules of the road, as I like to call them, in order to properly harness the power of the platform. And that's where I think I really like the term social selling, because that is what it is. It's a very different rapport on there. I always like to equate a lot of times, you know, any type of interaction online of like kind of like dating or a courtship. I always tell my clients, you never, you know, if you're, when you're dating, you never proposed marriage on the first date.
Right, exactly.
And I kind of try to instill with my clients, you know, kind of take that same approach here when doing, you know, any type of outreach on any channel, but specifically LinkedIn. Just because it's digital doesn't mean the other rules you've learned along the way don't apply any longer. So that social selling, you know, it's a whole different set of mindsets and approaches and philosophies that, you know, those who are really thriving on the platform have really embraced that social selling mindset and realize, you know, hey, there is a certain recipe in order to get there. But, you know, then it is lead generation. It's just, you know, lead generation 2020 style.
Gotcha. So, because I like what you have here on your LinkedIn profile, where it says, you put here, the key is to stay on their radar until they're ready to buy. And this is what Ignition and our Launchpad method helps you achieve. I like how you put that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So you know, there's a book out there, I reference it all the time. It's called The Ultimate Sales Machine. And the author is Chet Holmes. And in the book, he had a great chart, and I've seen this actually play out in other roles I've played in, but it essentially lays out the whole buying cycle. And when you boil it down, only about 3% of any market segment are in buy now mode. It could be something as simple as buying a new bottle of Coke at the grocery store, to buying a new shirt at the department store, to buying a new washing machine, all the way up to bigger ticket items such as, you know, a new car or a new house. But only so 3% across the board at any moment in time are actively in market. Beyond that, then you have about another 6-7% who are open to the idea, or, you know, kind of in the market more, a little bit more on the periphery of things, not quite, you know, what they have is kind of, you know, maybe working possibly on its way out. You know, they're starting to think about the new idea. And then you kind of come down the needs basis. Like, for instance, there's another then 30% who are not thinking about it, but with the right impetus could also get into market. You know, you maybe shine a light on a problem that they don't, you know, that they don't know exists, or, you know, or you may be able to say, hey, we have a better solution than what you're using. And they may go, oh, I never thought of it like that. Okay, maybe I am now.
Right.
Interested. Right. So with the whole thing of kind of, you know, occupying a small sliver, you know, of a prospect's mental real estate, it's kind of embracing that methodology and that mindset of, you know, not everyone is in market right now for your product, but, you know, by constantly, you know, kind of, you know, gently staying in front of them, you know, when they are in market, you know, you'll likely be top of mind since you've kind of, you know, have been kind of pinging, you know, your message out there, you know, for as long as you have. It's kind of, you know, no different than, you know, advertising. That's why, like, you know, big brands like Coke are always advertising in one way, shape, or form. Because, you know, that when the time comes for you to get a cold beverage, you know, they hope that Coke will be top of mind. No different here.
Right. Yeah. You know, Coke is always there in your face, commercials, billboards, you know, magazines, wherever you go. Yeah. There's a Coca-Cola ad. And, you know, I try to do the same thing along those lines with Telework PH, because I know that a lot of businesses are not, you know, right now they're not ready to outsource, or perhaps it's crossed their mind, but they don't know too much about it and maybe don't know where to turn to find out more about it. You know, so I like to put it out there that, hey, this is what we do. I'm here. You want to talk about it? That's cool. You don't want to talk about it yet? Hey, that's cool too. But I'm going to keep reminding you, you know, hey, I'm here and this is what we do. You know, so yeah, that methodology is a great way to approach it, because it's less stress, it's less pressure, and it does give people time to consider the product, or to consider, you know, the service that you're offering, and, you know, keep it light, keep it airy, keep it conversational. I think that that's a lot of the new way, like you were saying, the 2020, rather than the cold emails, the cold calling, the showing up with coffee at their office, you know, and really trying to get in there and pressure them into a sale. Because I know both of us in our lines of businesses, I mean, basically we're not selling like a plugin or an app where it's going to be $20 a month. We're basically saying, hey, you know, take on my service and give me thousands of dollars a year, you know, so
yeah.
It takes time for them to make that decision.
Definitely. Yeah. So, yeah. And
go ahead.
I was going to say, one thing I've also seen too, and I'm seeing this more too, is like the stats show that nowadays, before, you know, it used to be at one point where the seller controlled the whole buying cycle. The buyer would have to reach out to the seller to get all the information they needed to make a decision. Now with everything being online, that equation has been flipped on its head. And studies have shown that when a prospect reaches out to a salesperson nowadays, they could be as far as 80 to 90% through the purchase funnel at that point. Mm-hmm. So this shows you, but up to that point, they've been consuming your content. They might have checked out your website. I've had several instances, like for me personally, you know, I would have clients that pop into my inbox all of a sudden. I've never seen them interact with a post of mine in any way, shape, or form. But they said, hey, I've been following you for a while now. I like what you've been putting out. I'm interested in talking about what you do, because I think, you know, what you're offering could be a solution to a problem I have. And so, you know, there's an example of, you know, a lot of it's happening in the background that, you know, you're not aware of, but it's happening, you know, out there. That's, you know, really influencing that whole buying cycle here in 2020.
Yeah. And that's kind of how you and I met. You had listened to my podcast and then you sent me a message on LinkedIn and said, hey, let's chat, you know? So,
yeah.
That worked out great. So what got you into all of this? You know, starting your own business, taking that leap. I mean, obviously you had, I saw in your profile, you had other positions with other companies before.
Yeah.
What, is this type of work that you're doing now, what you've done in the past, or is this just something you felt you had a talent for?
It's a variation on where my past has come from. So if you look at my past background, I've been in the advertising game in one way, shape, or form my entire career. I came up through the media planning and buying ranks. So in that realm, I was always the buyer of media. So I was always being sold to by media salespeople, whether at TV stations, at newspapers, radio stations, things like that. But I was also always the one on the inside pushing new ideas and new concepts. So I quickly realized, you know, internally I would have to sell my supervisors and then ultimately their bosses and then ultimately the clients if I wanted to get this new idea of mine onto their media plan using their dollars. So understanding that, quickly realized how I needed to kind of sell these ideas through if I wanted to have them see the light of day. And then it's funny that we're in another recession, mm-hmm. but back in the 2008 recession, I was working at agencies at that time. And just like they're doing now, ad agencies, whenever there's a recession, they contract significantly. And back then I was, you know, let go from an agency where I was at, had a newborn on the way. So, and just the type of me was just like, you know, I just can't stand sitting on the sidelines through all of this. So after, you know, trying to find a new job in the midst of a recession in an industry that wasn't hiring at the senior level, which is where I was at, I realized, you know, let me flip the script a little bit. So I reached out to a local radio station company at that time, and I got hired on as a sales rep selling radio station ads. And so I literally went from sitting in the buyer's seat to being into the seller's seat. Same product at the end of the day, just different, you know, different side of it. And really enjoyed it, kind of, you know, enjoyed getting out there, working with small businesses, helping them with it, kind of crafting up solutions, you know, from, you know, the assets available at the radio station group. And that kind of started that this road of moving more onto the sales side of things. So then fast forward over the last decade, have been in various types of business development and sales roles, whether it's internal or external. And then what kind of got me to the point of opening up my own company was a very interesting, you know, best way to put it was, it kind of hit a fork in the road in my life. You can kind of maybe classify it a little bit of a midlife crisis. So a couple years ago, was in a role, kind of going, things were kind of, you know, they were stalled. They were kind of moving sideways at the time and all that. And had a conversation with a career coach one day, just kind of a one-off conversation. And he asked me a couple of quick questions. He goes, "Jeff, how old are you right now?" And I said at the time, I was, you know, 44. He goes, "Okay. How old was your dad? You know, he asked, is your dad living or dead?" I said, he just died. He goes, "Okay, how old was he when he died?" I said, 84. He says, "Okay, so you're about," he said, "based on your dad's lifespan, you're roughly at the halfway point of your life," or as he said, as I like to call it, halftime. And that's when the light bulb just went off. I'm a huge sports fan, so the halftime metaphor really resonated with me. And then this career coach went on and said, you know, it's like teams, you know, they're in the locker room at halftime. You know, they're figuring out how they need to approach the game in the second half. You know, if they're, you know, coming out of whatever halftime adjustments, you know, they have to make, but they still got a whole half of a game to go to make their mark and, you know, hopefully win the game. And that was kind of what just got me onto a whole different trajectory where I'm at now, saying, yeah, you know, I'm on the back part of my life now, but I got a lot of game ahead of me still. So it was kind of the impetus to kind of, you know, get out from working for somebody else and starting my own company. And the way kind of looked at how the idea for Ignition was having some other conversations in a group of ad agency owners one day. And the common theme that came up was they all knew they needed new business leads to keep their agencies growing, but none of them liked to do the work needed to get those conversations started. And I'd been doing something very similar in my last couple of jobs. And it actually became quite natural to me. So that's why I kind of married the two pieces together of, hey, I'm hearing this huge need in the marketplace. Plus, hey, here's something I like to do. Combine the two together. And that's how Ignition came to be.
Well, that's an interesting story. So, I mean, it wasn't something that you had planned out to do. It was something that came to you, and you just, it was a realization that, you know, said, hey, I'm good at this. And it just, everything just sort of came together for you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of at that time chasing riches, being in a couple of different startups along the way. And both of those kind of went boom. You know, I was thinking, you know, the startup path would be the path for me. But yeah, I ultimately got to a point where realized the path was, you know, to go down this way with me opening up my own company, you know, helping people in the way that I knew, you know, in a way that I know that works for others.
So was that a scary step to take, leaving the security of having a job to, you know, like all of a sudden you've got to find clients for yourself and that's how you're going to put the food on the table?
Yeah, it is, you know, it is flying without a parachute at times. You know, but the best, you know, but the best thing is, you know, it's all under being a business owner. It's all under my own control. I control whether I sink or swim, you know, kind of like in this current environment now, you know, yeah, everything's contracting, but it's the mindset of saying I control my destiny, not, you know, outside forces. They may influence it a little bit, but ultimately I'm the one that decides, you know, am I thriving or am I shrinking in this environment?
So how long did it take you to get that first solid client when you decided to take this leap?
Like a lot of companies, I'd kind of been shadow incubating it on the sideline while I was still kind of holding down the full-time job. So I was able to kind of, when everything got solidified, I was able to quickly, you know, bring them on board and, you know, kind of officially open up on day one. Like a lot of companies, I was kind of working within my network for those first couple of clients. But by the end of last year, I had a total, so the company opened officially for business on May 1 of 2019. And by the end of the year, I was up to 6 clients already.
Wow. Wow. That's really hustling. Where do you see yourself going, you know, in the future? Are you looking to expand and bring on a nice big team, build a nice outsourced team?
Yeah, you know, right now with the environment being a little bit cloudy, it's hard to say exactly. Yeah, I would love to grow it. It's I think it's walking that fine line though. Is, you know, I don't want this to become a mass productized service. I think it lose a lot of the specialness and the special sauce gets lost when you start to have a huge team, and you know, then it just starts to become like an assembly line product, which I don't want. There's, you know, people want that out there. There are products like that out there where they can go to. I'm looking for more of that, you know, almost, you know, quasi productized thing where, you know, you get to know every client really well. Yeah, you do have a small team that helps on the implementation, but on my side would be working, you know, in concert with, you know, all of the clients. You know, I don't really want it to be transactional necessarily. I mean, you know, my whole impetus here is to help, you know, agencies and small businesses. And you can't really necessarily do that at a huge level of scale without giving something up. And I'm not ready to, you know, to do that.
You like having the personal touch. I mean, that's what's in your blood is speaking to the clients directly, talking to them and just, you know, having those kind of conversations. That's where your passion is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because like, you know, it doesn't do anybody any good if you've got 100 clients, but, you know, none of them are getting the right attention, then all of a sudden they all churn and they're not getting the results they want. That's not helping anybody out there. You know, I'd rather be, you know, have a good couple of handfuls of clients where, you know, I'm on, you know, I have relationships with each and every one of them, and you know exactly what's happening so you can help them. That's where I feel the results really occur and really, really happen, especially in, you know, like dynamic industries like this. It's like when the whole COVID-19 pandemic hit a couple of weeks ago, it required a pivot on all fronts.
Right.
And, you know, being kind of small and nimble, we were really able to turn on a dime with, you know, with all of our clients. You know, I think if you had a big organization, that would be impossible to do. And I was just, you know, in when you're doing anything of business development or lead generation, I think, you know, nimbleness is key.
Oh, absolutely. When you lose that personal touch, you lose that flexibility. And yep. I completely get what you're saying. So I want to tell all my listeners right now, there's going to be a point where Jeff is going to have to stop taking clients. So if you want to talk to Jeff, you better get, you know, talk to him soon before he fills up. So, you know, if he has to turn you away, don't blame me. So let's talk about, you know, what's on everybody's lips. And is, you know, this virus is really affecting. We're, you know, basically almost a month now into the major part of it, the most major part that we've seen. So it's been, what, 3 weeks to a month. where things have been locked down and there's been more attention and unfortunately more people contracting this disease. And it's been almost on a day-to-day basis of, you know, everybody's living one day at a time is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You know, one day it's like we're making this plan, but boom, no, we can't. And it looked like we were going to open back up in April, but this may go till August. We don't know. That's that whole uncertainty. How has that affected you?
Yeah, a lot of small businesses don't like uncertainty. You know, I actually just posted something today on LinkedIn about that. And the long and short of it was, you know, the last few days had a series of sales calls and all of them had the same answer for me. It's like, they're like, Jeff, we love what you're doing. We want to do it, but we can't right now. And I would press them and say, well, why? They're like, I'm just uncertain of what the future holds. And because of that, I'm not in a position to spend any money that I feel is a luxury. So it's really kind of everyone's just buckling down, afraid to do anything. Because I think, you know, no one knows, and this is I understand it. It's a lot of, you know, human emotion going on here. But, you know, a lot of times when things are uncertain, you just kind of stay with where you are because, you know, I think there's a fear of making a bad decision and being worse in a worse situation than if you did nothing. But one thing I found is a lot of times by doing nothing, that's what gets you in the worst position. Because I heard this great analogy on a call. Think of it like you're riding a bicycle. You're going up a hill right now. And that's where we are at. We're on a single speed bicycle heading up a huge hill. The only way you don't fall back to the bottom of the hills is you keep pedaling, even if it's, you know, one crank at a time. Eventually you're going to get to the top of the hill and then you're going to coast down and gain a lot of speed and a lot of momentum. But the alternative is if you're climbing up that hill on your single speed bike and you stop, you're going to drift backwards, probably fall on the ground, bump yourself, and you may be bones broken, bike injured. You may never be able to get back on the bike again and go back up the hill. So that's kind of, I think, where we're at. And that message I'm getting out there is like, best thing right now is just to keep going, because there's more downside right now if you stop than if you just kind of keep plugging away. Because like every past recession, now this is my third recession I've been through, we always come out on the other end. It's a natural cycle. So, you know, I think just what's doing it for this one is it's the COVID-19 angle that's, I think, scaring a lot of people. And, you know, and rightfully so. We've never had, you know, a pandemic in our lifetime. The last one we've all went through, anything similar to this would be the Spanish flu in, you know, 1918, 1919. And I'm pretty sure no one that's listening to this was alive back then.
I highly doubt it, right?
So that's what I think things happening. But, you know, I also remember I was in New York City on the day when 9/11 happened. And I remember those first couple of weeks there, the whole city was just stunned. They didn't know which way was up, what was coming next. But then as we got a few, you know, as we got into late September and early October, the city kind of got its legs back out underneath them, and they kind of got back to some normalcy. And I think I'm starting to see a few signs of that now as well. Well, this is our new reality. Okay, I'm starting to understand it a little bit better. Okay, I'm feeling a little bit more confident. Yeah, it's still going to be bumpy, but okay. You know, it's not as shocking as it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when the news all first broke. So I'm hoping, you know, that's going to give a little bit of a mindset change to everybody out there, you know, kind of, you know, that, hey, you know, we do have to kind of get back to business as much as usual as we can right now.
Right. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said the new reality, because it really is. It's going to be a new reality. I don't think, or I don't foresee things going back to the way they were before the outbreak. There's going to be a lot of changes and a lot of permanent changes. that are going to be made, because this is an impact that you know strikes us to the bones, basically. So now's the time to start making plans, to start making, you know, just like you're planning out and starting the new business almost. It's like you're almost back to that square one where you got to start, you know, plotting your next move, Lao Tzu, Art of War, you know, because it's, like I said, this is not going back to the way it's going to be. You know, we're not going to just wake up, you know, Easter morning and it's going to be business as usual. You know, let's all just go back to our offices. It's going to take a lot of time. And it's going to be a more gradual process, you know, getting back into the offices, getting, you know, back into our businesses, and to actually have people, even with the stimulus, getting, you know, wanting to open up their wallets and begin purchasing again and hiring services and whatnot. So, you know, like you said, yeah, it's a new reality, mm-hmm. and we got to start making plans. And that's what I've been putting on LinkedIn too. And, you know, I understand where these businesses are. Outsourcing could be a solution or it could not be a solution. Either way, let's hop in a call and talk about it. Let me, you know, I can tell you what your options are. And that's basically what the same thing you're doing, right?
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the hop on a call, because, you know, that's actually the approach I'm advising all my clients right now. And that's what the savvy ones are doing. It's they realize right now, no one is buying anything. I get that, but doesn't mean you can't start relationships now. Doesn't mean you can't have conversations now.
Exactly.
Because what's going to happen is, you know, when things do kind of open, start to get back to normal, businesses start to open back up, well, guess what? People are going to need people. And then they're going to refresh back, kind of like we were talking about earlier on this podcast of, you know, kind of occupying a small sliver of their mind until they're ready to buy. Is when they're ready to buy, oh, yeah, I remember, hey, Jeff was the guy with that, you know, Jeff was this guy and Bob was that guy and I need them all now. And, you know, they're going to come back around. And that's, you know, so it's almost think of it like, you know, we're planting seeds right now that we will start to harvest, you know, in a few months' time.
Exactly. And now is the time too for businesses to, as you say, you know, get out in front of this and get their name out there. Keep posting on LinkedIn, keep posting on the social medias, you know, compete with Coca-Cola. Whatever you got going on, you know, to get your name in front of the right people, because when they're ready to buy, you know, it's just like, you know, you're driving through town and you're not hungry. You know, you're driving down the street and I'm like, I'm not hungry, but you're seeing the signs for all the restaurants. Mm-hmm. So then when you're sitting at home with the wife and you're like, or the husband, whoever your significant other, sorry. You know, whomever you're with, and you decide, I'm hungry, let's go out to eat. Hey, I saw the sign for this place. Let's go check it out.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that is the smartest move right now for any business to do, is to utilize this time and make the most of it, instead of looking at the negative, like I may be losing money, I've had to let people go, I've had to lay people off. And that is a tragedy, you know, but how can we bounce back? What's it going to take?
Yep.
So what I like about your message here is that it adds value across the board and not just one specific industry. Mm-hmm. You know, this message I think that you've given us today is going to help a lot of small business owners to large business, to anyone really. And hopefully, you know, put a little nugget in their head to help them move forward come Monday morning.
That's what I hope. Yeah. It's like, hey, the sun will come up. You know, we're in a storm right now, but the sun will come up again. Always does.
So Jeff, if the listeners want to get a hold of you to have a conversation, what's the best way to reach you? Connect on LinkedIn, or do you have a website that you wanted to let them know about?
Easiest place to find me is on LinkedIn. Just Jeffrey Pugel, P-U-G-E-L, on LinkedIn. Search for me. I'm the only Jeffrey Pugel out there that I know of. Or you can also definitely check out my website at ignition.llc.
And I'll put the links to those in the description of the podcast to make it easier. So they just got to click and go.
Sounds good.
Jeff, thank you very, very much for being on the show. And I really want to have you on again, you know, and maybe in a few weeks or a month to, you know, check on some updates and have another quick conversation, if that's all right.
Would love to. Always great talking to a fellow Akronite.
And a fellow BizDev Jeff. You're the original BizDev Jeff, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Right. So that will wrap it up for this installment of Telecast PH. I've been BizDev Jeff, your host. A special thank you to Jeff Pugel for joining us today and sharing his story. And if you like this podcast, please go ahead and subscribe. And if you're on the YouTube channel, I'd appreciate it if you would like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you'll be notified when I upload new content. And I'm always looking for feedback, so comments are welcome. And of course, if you want to find out more about Telework PH and what we do and how we can help your business scale up quicker, hop on over to www.teleworkph.com or hit me up on LinkedIn. Just search BizDev Jeff Thompson or the hashtag BizDev Jeff. Send me a message and we'll talk about it. And as the late great Dr. Wayne Dyer said, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. Take care, everyone. Be safe. This is BizDev Jeff signing off.